Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
People get so bored with seeing greatness. It's disrespectful to an extent.
We knew he was going to come out here and dominate the Cowboys.
He spends over $2 million on his body. Like a year, like yearly.
Well, we're not going to tolerate that. I'm taking all your Super Bowl tickets.
Yo, 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 what's happening? It's episode 5 of All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. The name says it all. If you like what you hear, download and subscribe and make sure you leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. You also can watch us on YouTube. Just visit youtube.com/allthingscovered. Pat P, what are we going to cover on this episode?
Hey, man, Matt, we're going to cover our big win on Monday night against the Cowboys, our upcoming matchup against the Seattle Seahawks. And also, we got a great, great conversation planned with the 2-time NBA world champion, J.R. Smith.
Now, ladies and gents, it's time for Chopping It Up. Chopping It Up is a segment with me and Pat. We go back and forth just talking about weird things, unknown things, right? But before we get into that, if you are watching us on YouTube right now, you see Pat has a Rook shirt on, right? And it's not a jersey. Usually when we see Pat putting in work, he has on a football jersey, game jersey, or practice jersey. But right now, he has like a little under the hood type shirt on, Pat.
Yeah.
So fill us in on, about your shirt. And where are you currently located at?
Man, today I thought it would be dope to do the podcast at my shop. You know, as you see, I got a couple memorabilia right here in my office. I got my under the hood shirt on, button up on today. And hopefully if you guys stay tuned long enough, maybe I'll give you a sneak peek of the shop.
So you have like a car shop. Fill us in a little bit about, you know, the type of shop and what you have in the shop.
Well, it's more of it's my personal museum. Per se, you know, I store my cars here, you know, have a bunch of memorabilia in here, a bunch of cool paintings, a bunch of jerseys, and cool cars, TVs, restroom, you name it, refrigerator, air condition, you know, it's all laid out for me whenever I want to get away, you know, from the house and just step away into my man cave.
No question. So you know what? I guess a little later in the show, if we have time, we can definitely give the audience an inside look on Pat P's exotic shop, because I've been in the shop and he got some toys in there. He got some heavy hitters in there. So
yeah, I got a little something, Matt.
Hopefully we'll be able to show you guys what he has in the shop. But like I said, now it's time for Chopping It Up. So Pat, I got a quick question for you as a professional player, right? Tell us the biggest mistake. It could be a funny mistake, but the biggest mistake you made as a professional football related?
The biggest mistake I made football related, probably my rookie year, man, messing up the Waffle House order.
Oh, you used to have to get Waffle House every morning?
Yeah, man. I think that was the biggest mistake I made. Yeah, so this give me, man, I used to mess up the order so bad. I used to tell my wife, man, just place the order, man. I used to mess it up so bad. Just place the order, I go pick it up. Just make sure the boys' food is on point, because I'm tired of getting bashed each and every week about the order being messed up. So, rookies out there, man, make sure you don't mess up the vet's order, man, because they definitely take that personal.
I know, question. Yeah, I had to do that also my rookie year. It was either breakfast, if we played home, and if we played away, it was Popeyes.
Yeah, same way. Popeyes. Same. I don't eat the Waffle House. I know that's your thing, Matt.
Yes,
but
sir.
Popeyes on the plane, though. I love that Popeyes on the plane.
Yeah, Popeyes. You know, for me, Pat, it's similar to your story. My rookie year. So my rookie year, we went to the Super Bowl, right? And the AFC Championship game, we played in Denver. We had the early game. I think we had like the 3 o'clock matchup or something like that. So we beat Denver. We're going to the Super Bowl. So the whole plane ride home, bro, we just partying. We having a good time. I mean, we got the Blu-ray game going. You know, the guys got the dice game,
and
the tonk game. And it's a long flight, so you got enough time to bop somebody across the head or get bopped across the head. But at that time, man, we live in life. We going to the Super Bowl, right? I'm a rookie. So as soon as we land back in PA, bro, this was probably like mid-January. As soon as we land in PA, man, we in the streets heavy. I mean, we get straight, get off the plane, get in our whoops, man, we go straight downtown. We went right. to a spot. And if anybody in Pittsburgh know what I'm talking about, if you're a real a Pittsburgh individual, you remember High Tops. High Top used to be a bar that everybody go to right across the street from PNC Park, the baseball stadium. We go to High Tops, Pat. Man, they loving us, man. We can't do no wrong, right? We right. go in the club, free access. We on stage. We freestyling. We rapping. So we go from High Tops. We go to a whole nother spot. I think it was called Dials. So we leave High Tops. We go to Dials, man. We party, and it's probably about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. No, it's about 4 o'clock. They kept the club open later than usual because we're going to the Super Bowl, right? So right. after that, we go to a spot called JoJo's. Like I said, if you're from Pittsburgh, you know what I'm talking about.
When you drop some names right now, man.
JoJo's, man. JoJo's closed down, but one of the best breakfast spots you can have, especially in the wee hours in the morning. So we go to JoJo's, right? So Pat, you know me. If anybody know Mac, they know Mac don't drink, right? I don't partake in the devil's nectar. I don't judge, but I don't partake in the devil's nectar, right? So I can party with the best of them, though. I can be with a sober mind. I can go with the best of them all night. But I told them, boys, I was with some of the vets, and I told them, boys, when we got to JoJo's, Pat, I ordered me a nice French toast, some scrambled eggs with cheese, some sausage, and some home fries, and that French toast.
And you had your all-American breakfast, man.
Pat, I told them, boys, I said, listen, after all this partying we done did, right? Y'all gonna have to check on me early in the morning, cause after I eat this French toast, the way how this French toast is hitting, well, I'm gonna be disco dead sleep. I'm gonna be all the way dead sleep. You can put me on a funeral brochure and put me in a casket, cause I'm gonna be dead sleep, right, bro? So they're like, man, Mac, man, stop all that playing, man. You ain't even drunk. You don't even drink. I said, man, listen, this French toast is gonna do something to me. So Pat, we had a 9 o'clock meeting that Monday. Man, I'm up in the Allegheny Center, man, sleep, man. My alarm don't go off. It went off, but I ignored it. Man, I wake up, Pat, it's 8:47.
What time was meetings?
9 a.m.
Oh, man.
So, literally, I woke up. Man, I don't even know what I had on, but I just put some clothes on. It was a little nippy outside, so I put some sleeves on. I had on shorts, by the way, so it's about 30 degrees. Man, I jumped in my car. I didn't brush my teeth, and I'm driving so fast. This is the one time I was hoping the police would pull me over, because I can use that as an excuse why I was
right.
No police officer in sight. I'm running red lights. I'm running stop signs. I'm like, please, somebody pull me over. I'm trying to get pulled over, right?
Right.
So they can be like, well, Matt got pulled over. That's his reason why he was late. Nobody pulled me over. So now when I get close to the facility, it was some ditches. I'm like, Mac, what if I just run off the road and ride in the ditch? I can say I got in an accident. Hey, but Pat, I'm in the dealer car. Right. I mean, I'm like, man, I can't mess up these folks' car. So I said, man, shoot, I might just have to eat this one. Bro, I get there, man. It's like 9:15. I missed the team meeting room, the team meeting with BC. Bill Kyle was the head coach. I come in, Dick LeBeau was having the defensive meeting, right? So they're going over the whole game plan, the week layout, getting ready for the Super Bowl against Seattle. And as soon as I walk in, all the vets looking at me like, bro, really? So Coach LeBeau walked up to me. He said, Matt, man, BC want to talk to you. Bro, this is the first time I ever went into Bill Cowher's office in the whole year. Man, I walked in, BC hit me with the, hey, Matt, were you late? You know, he got that raspy voice, man, kind of sound like Jadakiss a little bit. I was like, dang, he already know the answer. So I said, shoot, I can't lie to him. I said, yeah, coach, I was late. He said, why are you late, Matt? Why are you late? You know, Bill Cowher seems to always be intense, especially to the rookies, man. He was an intimidator, right? So I'm like, man, coach, I ain't even gonna lie to you, coach. Man, we won that game, man, against the Broncos, man. We were partying. I was in the streets heavy last night, coach. I didn't drink. I wasn't drunk, coach. I didn't drink. I didn't partake in that devil's nectar. But, coach, I was in the streets heavy, and I ate real good. I had a nice breakfast around 5:30 in the morning, and I overslept. Ain't nobody checked on me. He was like, well, we're not going to tolerate that. I'm taking all your Super Bowl tickets. Pat, when he told me he was taking my Super Bowl tickets, I about died. I died again. I died when I went to sleep, and I died again in his office. I had already told my good mama she can come to the Super Bowl. This is the bowl.
Right.
I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, man, I don't even want to play no more, man. If I can't have no tickets, why am I playing? So I'm like, man, I put my head down, bro, and I was slowly about to walk out. Man, I'm like, man, I'm sick, man. He hit me with the, hey, Matt, I'm just joking with you. Good game. I said, yo, he actually has a sense of humor. Man, listen, when he told me that, Pat, I said, yeah, I made it. I'm part of the in crowd now. I'm part of the boys. And guess what? That Monday night, we back in the streets again. Heavy.
We you didn't miss no more meetings, did you?
No, sir. I ain't missing no more meetings. Mm-mm. Hey, I got to the point, Pat, I was so nervous that sometimes when we used to hang out, I put the phone on my forehead so I can hear the alarm and I can feel it vibrating. But the thing was, you know, sometimes if you go to sleep, the phone will fall off. So what I got smart. I used to sleep with a headband on and have the phone wrapped in the headband. So, yeah, rock with me. So I had the headband on tight or the wave cap. You know, I used to, when I had my low cut, I used to have them waves. I had the wave cap and I slide the phone in the wave cap so I can feel the vibration along with hearing it just in case I miss it. It's a quick little trick. Thank me later. But if you ever need to make sure you get up, get you a headband or wave cap, slide that phone in that wave cap. You ready to go? You ready to go? Now it's time to check in with our Cardinals check in. I mean, if you guys didn't get a chance to see the ball game Monday night, Arizona Cardinals traveling to Dallas to play against the Dallas Cowboys, primetime matchup with a bunch of primetime players. Last week before this matchup, Pat, you mentioned that, you know, you felt like Andy Dalton couldn't beat you guys and you wanted to make Andy Dalton beat you. He didn't beat you. Neither did Ezekiel Elliott. Tell us about what went right for you guys Monday night, this past Monday night against the Cowboys.
Came off the bus wanting to stop the run. You know, we knew those guys were going to try to get Ezekiel into the game early and often, forcing him to fumble those balls and back-to-back possessions definitely put a little damper on their offense on how they planned for it to go. You know, so by us taking out the run early, making Andy throw the ball 54 times, we know he's capable of doing that. But like I said last week, we think there's more opportunities to make plays when the ball is in the air versus when the ball is being carried. But it ended up working out for the best of us on both sides. You know, we got 2 forced fumbles and 2 fumble recoveries, and we got 2 picks as well. So it was a good game plan that Coach Vance put together. Guys really, really bought in to the game plan, really. Had a great week of preparation. And like you said, the stars came out to play. The lights was bright. You know, that's what this team needed for us to get to where we want to go, have those primetime games, have those night games, get used to it because we plan on being in the playoffs, truth be told.
No question. And then looking at how you guys performed Monday night, man, if you guys continue to sustain that type of production, yeah, no reason why you guys should not get into the tournament, especially with that one extra spot the NFL has granted league with an opportunity of having. Pat, you know, we've talked to you many a times about celebrations and things like that, but I can tell you this much. You look like you were having the time of your life. The entire team looked like they were having the time of their life. One time I saw you, air kick Kyler Murray on the sideline looking like Shawn Michaels with some Sweet Chin Music. One time I saw you shoulder bump Cliff Kingsbury on the sideline as well. Man, talk about what that was like, man, and what was the vibe? What created that type of atmosphere on the sideline? Not to mention you and Buda Baker at one point in time laying down DeAndre Hopkins when he broke that crosser route, and I think he took it 60 or 70 yards. You guys were literally running on the sideline chasing D-Hop just to celebrate with him. Talk about that team experience and the togetherness you guys displayed Monday night.
Well, you know, Mac, it started in the locker room, man. We came out the locker room with that new 21 Savage running.
Oh, that's what y'all was bumping?
Literally, from that point on, it was just like we flipped the switch. And coming through the tunnel, walking into the field, it was just guys had that look in their eye. You know, we had the look in our eyes that we knew we was going to come out here and dominate the Cowboys. You know, no disrespect to them, but we just had that mindset, that mentality going, walking into that stadium. You know what I mean? So, it started from the locker room. And when we got on the field and, you know, stuff started coming to happen, guys started making plays, the energy level just went to a whole nother level. And you know how it is. When you have swag, you play with energy, you play with that passion, everything else going to take care of itself. And that was just the first time that the world got to see this 2020 version of the Arizona Cardinals. We definitely feel like we left a lot out there because, you know, we felt that they shouldn't score. You know, that's how stellar we felt that we performed on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, Kyler only completing, you know, 9 passes and still putting up 38 points. So we still not hitting on, you know, every cylinder right now. And that's the scary part. As long as we can keep that vibe, that energy, that passion, caring for one another, having that continuity with one another. Like I said, since since we had our first IG story, whatever you want to call that, like the sky's the limit for this football team, man. Like everybody has bought in. Everybody is just, it's just a different vibe, a different energy. And I love every minute of it.
And Pat, I made a mistake. I mentioned that you guys chased down DeAndre Hopkins. It was actually Kenyon Drake on that last touchdown that killed a lot of fantasy owners a weekend matchup, because that touchdown either made somebody win a ball game in fantasy or made somebody lose. Yes, no question. You don't know nothing about fantasy football. You
still, I don't.
But I'm all wrapped up. You know, speaking of Buda Baker, man, listen, I've been a fan of Buda Baker going back to his Washington days. When you guys drafted him, I spoke to you about how high I was on him, and he's starting to evolve into a superstar-like player at the safety position. He reminds me a lot of Bob Sanders. I call him Bob Sanders 2.0. And if you don't know who Bob Sanders is, for the listeners and viewers that are watching us, go pull up Bob Sanders, Indianapolis Colts. He reminds me a lot of Buda Baker. 7 tackles, a sack, forced fumble, interception. I mean,
went crazy, man.
He went dumb dumb. He went all the way dumb, right?
But and he was like that shirt I wore. That boy good. That boy real.
That boy for real. No question. I mean, boy. But the thing I want to talk about outside of his outstanding play, Pat, because, you know, the sky's the limit for him. But the unique celebration y'all boys had when he caught the interception. Man, y'all boys, first of all, y'all boys lined up like some bowling pins. And he got the bowling ball. And if you guys can go back and look at the highlight, you got to look at his bowling strut before he let the ball go to hit that strike. Man, talk about, was that already pre-planned based on the defensive thought process? Whoever make a big play, this is what we're going to do?
Yeah, it definitely was pre-planned. It was something I was cooking up all week. I forget what song I was listening to. And the guy who actually did the thing, you know, I think that it was some bowling competition in the early 2000s, and he needed to roll the strike to win the match. So he he rolled a strike. He was like, yeah, that's right. I did it. Who do you think you are? I am. So that was a whole background behind doing that celebration, because we had a feeling that someone on the defensive side of the ball was going to have it. Drake was the first one supposed to do it, but he didn't do it. He forgot it because
he ran, man. Yeah, he ran and y'all had to chase him down.
Exactly. Yeah. So then Buddha got it and we was like, man, we got to do it. And it finally came out up under the bright lights, and everybody loved the celebration. And hopefully, we got another one this week. It's gonna be dope this week, man. Hopefully, we get that end zone, dog.
Yo, that's a nice segue for me. I appreciate you. You give me a nice pass, like Rajon Rondo talking about this week matchup, Week 7, Seattle, the undefeated Seattle Seahawks with curly hair, Russell Wilson, who's a bad man, and homie, you got you a big matchup this week. You're talking about grown man and DK Metcalf, who's been balling. Clearly, he's been putting up big numbers. His quarterback has been putting up big numbers, man. Talk about this matchup specifically for you. You played against him last year, but right now he seems to be, you know, evolving into a superstar-like player at the wide receiver position. He's not the normal size wide receiver, 6'4", 6'5", 230-plus, can run a 4.3. Talk about that matchup specifically for you, and how do you go about mentally trying to attack him as a cover guy?
DK presents a ton of problems with him having the size disadvantage, the strength that he has, and also having the speed, you know, so he presents a lot of problems. So for the most part, you know, I know he invites that physical matchup. That's what he wants. And, you know, at the same time, that's what I like as well. So I think it's going to be a great matchup. I know I got an opportunity to go up against him last year as he was, you know, starting to come into his own. You could start to see late in the year, he started to get more and more confidence, started making some great big plays in that playoff run that they had late last year. So, and he's been doing nothing but great things thus far through the first, you know, 7 weeks through the season. I believe he's top 10 in yardage. You know, got a pair of touchdowns. So he's more than capable of being a superstar in this league for sure. So, you know, like I always talk about, each and every week I have my plate full. I mean, it's definitely a matchup that I'm looking forward to. I know he's going to prepare and bring his best game Sunday evening in the toaster. And I'm definitely preparing to have my best one as well.
Does he remind you of anybody you played against in the past when it comes to his size and his speed? You played against a lot of great wide receivers, but does he remind you of any one of your past opponents?
You know, people, I was, you know, over the last 2 weeks, you've been hearing that Calvin Johnson comparison. I really don't see the Calvin Johnson comparison. You know, you can say, I think DK is a little bit more shiftier than Calvin, you know, cause Calvin was a hard stop and go type guy. You know, he was almost like a guy that's going to just run that deep over, run a deep ball, or just pretty much just throw it up to him. DK, you know, he has it all. He's going to run those intermediate routes. He's going to run those comebacks. He's going to run those digs, the goals, the posts, the overs, the pylon routes. You know, he has it all. That's what makes it difficult to cover him, because he's running all those routes in the route tree. But the guy I will say that I compare him to, and I think he's given up a little bit size to him, is Julio, though, just far as the size and speed combination. I think that's very, very rare to find in a receiver. You know, you normally see skinnier, linkier receivers. You don't see guys like T.O.'s. Like, T.O. was a once-in-a-lifetime type receiver.
Yeah.
Then came A.J. Green. And don't get me wrong, Larry's a great receiver, but he don't have, like, that body structure or body stature.
Yeah.
Of those guys are like gods, you know what I mean? Those guys are like freaking ripped from, you know, from they got like 2% body fat, you know.
So we on Game of Thrones,
exactly. So you know, when you see a typical receiver, it's typically like a taller, linkier, a receiver, but those guys are just built like pit bulls. So, and it's very rare that you see receivers like that. So DK is definitely having a great young career so far. Get opportunity to go up against him twice a year, and is looking forward to nothing but great matchups in the future to come.
You know, question. That's a good comparison, though. Basically, a bigger Julio. I like that. And talking about DK, we talked about Russell Wilson before on the show. All things covered. Patrick Peterson, Brian McFadden. Where would you rank Russell Wilson amongst all the quarterbacks in the National Football League?
And like right now?
Right now. Yeah, right
2020
now.
2020 season?
2020 season. Where would you rank Russell?
Man, you know, I get to see him twice, man. Right now, nobody's playing better than Russ.
Yeah, I agree.
Nobody's playing better than Russ right now.
I definitely agree.
And December haven't even came yet. That's when he really at his best.
He played some of his best football towards the end of the season to go into the playoffs. You're right. So, but you know what? The truck got to stop at some point.
Yeah.
Why not this Sunday, right?
You got about it.
Our boy's got a nice surprise. You say you got a nice celebration. And man, listen, tell Dre, if he catch another interception, don't forget about the surprise. Don't forget about the celebration, man.
Man, I gotta work on my man Dre conditioning, man. He be talking about he be tired and stuff. Man, I get my dog right.
Tell him to hydrate. You gotta hydrate out in that desert. You know, he ain't used to that desert heat yet.
Yes, sir.
Now it's time to shift to the Around the League portion of our show, All Things Covered. Patrick Peterson, Brian McFadden. There have been some big time news in the National Football League. And like every week, we always love to hit on that, to hear Pat's perspective on what's going on throughout the National Football League. Luckily for this week, there's nothing COVID related. So cross your fingers and hopefully we continue to stay in that positive trend. But there was some
big news.
Yeah, there was some big news specifically coming from Miami. South Beach, the Miami Dolphins just named Tua Tagovailoa as the starting quarterback going forward. For me, that was a big shock because Ryan Fitzpatrick was playing real good football, 2-game winning streak. 3-3. You look at some of the losses. They lost to New England by 10 points, Buffalo in a close matchup and by 3 points, and then Seattle, you know, undefeated team in Seattle. So those are pretty, if you had to clarify those losses as good losses, I think they would, you know, reach that requirement. But Pat, me personally, I was surprised. I felt like Ryan Fitzpatrick did enough to continue to remain the starting quarterback. But were you surprised to hear that Tua is now the newly starting quarterback? And only threw 2 passes on the year. And those 2 passes came in garbage duty this past week against the Jets.
You know, Mac, I was very, very surprised knowing that those guys had a bye week coming next week, if I'm not mistaken.
This week. They have a bye this week.
So knowing that they had a bye week coming up this week, I thought they would at least go through. I knew at some point he was going to be the starter.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it was going to be. They was going to name him the starter going into the bye week. I thought that they would at least let him get some starter reps, see how he's looking with the flow of the offense. seeing what he can and can't do. I'm sure they already saw some of that stuff in practice, but you know, when you're preparing for a game, once you're a starter preparing, he's getting majority of those looks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's going to be different from calling a game with Ryan and Tua as a quarterback. So I thought they would at least have a game plan going into that week of bye week of putting together a game plan and having those couple of days off, thinking about it and be like, all right, cool, let's pull the trigger now knowing that he's ready. But with him throwing those two passes, we all know Tua can do it. You know, that's not a question. I just thought the way it was announced, especially the way Ryan has been playing, you know, it's not like he's been playing garbage ball. He's got like 1,400 plus passing yards. I think 12 plus touchdown passes.
Ten touchdowns, seven interceptions.
10 touchdown passes. So those are efficient numbers.
And completing 70% of his passes.
That too. And not only that, they went on the road and win some big time ball games. You know how hard it is for an East Coast team to go out west.
San Francisco. Yep.
And they didn't only beat them. They damn near embarrassed him. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So I was definitely shocked seeing Tua get named the starter, you know, not even a day after going into the bye week.
Well, I tell you this much, Pat, you were shocked, but you get an opportunity to see him up close and personal, because the next three matchups after the Miami Dolphins bye week is the Los Angeles Rams, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Chargers. So you get a chance to see exactly what he has in store now being named the starting quarterback. And other news in the National Football League happened last week. The Kansas City Chiefs signed Le'Veon Bell, who was released by the New York Jets. I mean, many people feel like this is a big fit for the Jets to add another dynamic playmaker to the outstanding offense that they have already in place. But do you believe Le'Veon can provide the same spark for Kansas City that he provided in Pittsburgh years ago?
I think he can. If you look at it, you know, last year didn't play much, you know, this year nurturing the hamstring, you know, in and out of the starting lineup. I just think he needs the right fit for him, being around that, you know, from the outside looking in, hearing things what Jamal has said, what other players that's been in that organization have said, you know, just seem like it's a dark gray cloud around that building. Sometimes that can dwindle on players and that can kind of reflect on their play. So, I mean, I wouldn't doubt every player for the Jets is trying to get out of there. You know what
right
I mean?
Now.
So, you know, so I think he just need to be in the right system for his skill set to flourish. And I think this is the perfect system for him. You know, they got a great quarterback that can move the ball downfield, but then also cater to his skill set, which catching the ball out of the backfield, getting those screens, having those stretch plays, because Le'Veon Bell is a bounce runner. So he needs to be like in a zone scheme to where he can pick where he want to go.
Yeah.
You know, when the Jets run the ball, they don't even have pullers. They were just blocking, you know, one-on-one scheme the whole game.
They wasn't really blocking, but I give
you know, yeah, you know, if you consider that, but you know, he just need to be put in the right scheme so he can, you know, reach where he once was.
I can tell you this much, Pat. I understand the business side really created a separation between Bell's relationship and the Steelers' relationship, but he should have never left.
Yeah.
Dang, he should have.
Yeah, that was a match made in heaven.
Oh, my goodness. You talking about the fit, the culture, the scheme.
Yeah.
I mean,
coaching staff.
Oh, my man. Listen,
the whole get up.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, like they say, man, that grass ain't always green on the other side, but sometimes you got to find out the hard way.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. No doubt. But just as a fan of the game, just seeing how his skill set fit what they were doing. And then the common denominator about that situation, Pat, is that he leaves. He does not provide the same numbers. Pittsburgh offense still thriving. You know what I mean? Right. It's not like they're struggling. They're the only time they really struggled when they didn't have the quarterback. But they got Big Ben, and I mean, James Conner and Snell, they doing what they're supposed to do. So that tells you so much about the culture and how it just fits certain people the right way. And when you get put in that right culture, I mean, sometimes the business is not the most important thing, but easier said than done, right? If hindsight was 2020, we'd all be in a better situation right now.
No doubt about it.
We're getting close to the halftime break of our show, All Things Covered. But right before we go into the locker room to sip some Gatorade and eat some oranges, we're going to attack the 21 questions part of our show. 21 questions. This is where we get an opportunity to interact with our All Things Covered fans. They get a chance to submit a question, but you have to leave a 5-star rating with your question, and we'll pick that question and we'll answer it. It's for both of us, Pat.
Yep.
My question for both of you, what is the best offense you ever played against?
You want to take it first, Mac?
I take it first. I go back to my rookie year, 2005, the Indianapolis Colts. That year they were 14-2. I think they were the number one seed. We actually played them twice that year. We played them in the regular season. They kicked us in the mouth. We played them in the playoffs. We won that ball game. But that offense had quite a few Hall of Famers. Many people feel like the quarterback, Peyton Manning, one of the best quarterbacks to ever lace up his cleats, right? Clearly he has a strong argument for that case. Hall of Famer, Edgerrin James. Hofford just got into the Hall this past year. We know what he meant to that offense in his professional career. One of the more, I wouldn't say undervalued, but many people don't give Edgerrin James the respect that he deserves, in my opinion. I think he's one of the best running backs to do it. Three down type guy, a bruiser type, can run away from you, got moves, had everything you want your running back to have. Marvin Harrison, Hofford, right? Reggie Wayne, Hofford. And then you had, you know, other guys. I think he had a Clark at the tight end position.
Yeah.
Stokely, I think Stokely was there. Yeah. I mean, that offense was deadly, man. And we had some battles against them, specifically going against the Sheriff and Peyton Manning my rookie year. That playoff game, man, was a classic, one of the best ball games I ever participated in. But from a listener, my answer is the 2005 Indianapolis Colts. What about you, Pat? Who you got?
Best offense I've ever played against. I probably would have to go with the 2018 Chiefs. Mm. That was the year they lost to New England
in the AFC Championship.
Yeah, in the conference championship. That offense was pretty deadly, man. They, you know, that's when Pat Mahomes, I think that was his second year.
Was that? I think that was his MVP year.
It probably was. He went crazy. He added on to his stats against us too. he had like 4 touchdowns, man. I mean, it was just so many different looks they gave us. We was like, man, where the heck is the ball going? You know what I mean? They just, you know, mixed the direction here, throwing it to Tyreek there. They had Kareem Hunt, Travis, obviously Pat doing his thing. But
was Sammy on that team also? Sammy Watkins?
No, I don't think so. Okay. Sammy wasn't on that team. The receivers they had, if I could remember correctly, I can't even remember the other receivers they had. But it didn't even matter because they had Cheetah, Pat Mahomes, and Travis.
Yeah, you know, and Kareem Hunt.
And Hunt as well. So the things they were able to do and still get both guys 100 yards, the running back get 100 yards, Pat Mahomes still throw for 340. You know, I just thought that was highly impressive to witness. And yeah, we couldn't do a damn thing about it.
DeMarcus Robinson and Chris Conley were the other wide receivers.
Okay.
At that time. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Hey, 2 outstanding offense, man. Appreciate the question. Yo, it's halftime for us. We're going to take a quick break, but on the other side, we'll be joined by a 2-time NBA champion, J.R. Smith. Stay tuned.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from the people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome back to All Things Covered with Brian McFadden and Patrick Peterson. And now, like we promised you guys earlier in the show, we got a special guest right now joining us. J.R. Smith, man, first round pick in 2004, 16-year NBA vet, sixth man of the year in 2013, and now a two-time NBA champion. Mr. Swish, man, thank you for joining us here on All Things Covered. First and foremost, bro, if I had a brim on, if I had a hat on, I'd tip it to you because the fans know me and Pat P. We love the Lakers, man, and you just brought home a championship for all of us. I ain't played one quarter with y'all boys. I feel like I played, and I like to tip my brim to you if I had one on, man. So it's an honor having you here with us, man. All Things Covered. Man,
yes, sir.
First question for you. How does it feel to be a two-time NBA champion, man? What's that feeling like for you, especially when you look at the road that you had to go through?
Oh, man, it's like it's fulfilling for me because it's totally different. Like, I was playing more on the first one, and I feel like I had a very important role on the game. And then being into this situation and going through the playoffs and not really playing and trying to find my niche as a leader, as a veteran, and trying to help the younger guys out and more of a coaching aspect of it. It was one of the hardest things I've really ever had to do because I'm really sitting there watching from the sidelines and trying to put guys up, yelling for guys to be in the right position. And, it was a lot of nerve wracking. So this one is almost as good as the first one. So this two-time thing is feeling pretty good.
Yeah. And I know definitely what you've been in that veteran role. I know that's something that you, definitely, take to heart as well. So speaking of that role, how did you approach your role with this team when they picked you up as a free agent?
For me, it was like, no matter what they give, whatever, no matter what they throw at me, I'm accepted. And try to be a master in that role. When they, you know, I knew I wasn't going to come in and play 25 minutes a game and stuff like that because I haven't played in over a year or something. And they already pretty much had the core they tamed, of the Lakers anyway. I keep saying they, I'm a part of. the Lakers pretty much had their, core team set already. So I knew it wasn't going to be a situation where I was going to come in and play a lot. But more than anything for me, I feel like I left the game before my little hiatus with Cleveland on like kind of a bad note. You know, for me, if anything, you know, you hear people always want to say they want to go out a champion. And for me, I never wanted to walk away from the game as somebody who got waived. You know, for one, I never wanted that on my resume for somebody who got waived. But then for happen and, you know, for that be potentially a retirement after that or whatever, I never sat well with me. So my whole motivation to get back was to be in a situation to where I could win a championship. So when I got in that position, no matter what role they threw at me, that was my main focus, just to win the chip and put guys in position.
Yeah, real quick, for the guys that don't, you know, for the outsiders that don't really know about the locker room, can you just give a little insight on how much you miss the locker room? Because I know that's probably one of the things you miss, but just being around the guys, missing those conversations.
Yeah, for sure. Because it's a professional athlete, the life we live and what we go through on a day in a day out basis is very, especially if you in that exact sport. Obviously, we, you know, me and you talk a lot about how, you know, our games correlate, but when you on the same schedules and you literally going through the same patterns and stuff like that, whether it be being traded or whatnot, you get into that locker room, that's your safe haven. That's what you're banking on. That's what you need. Right. That's what you feel. You know what I'm saying? That's where you feel, if anything, out of anywhere, you really can be you because everybody pretty much has been in the same situation, is going through the same thing. So when you look at for me, when I was looking at one of my teammates, something like that, it's a reflection of myself in a different life. You know what I'm saying? And So I always try to look at it like that. That's why I always cherish, I think, throughout my whole career, it's only one teammate I really don't like. And he know that. And everybody else, I'm been cool with. So, you know what I'm saying?
So, who that teammate is?
Man, this dude, Sam Decker, dog. I can't – this dude, he did some bullshit on the bus one day talking some Trump shit, and I just wasn't having it, dog.
Yeah, you still feel some type of way.
Yeah, for sure, because it's – the question he asked, it was like it's a thought pattern. You know what I'm saying? You were taught that it's the hate you give. I feel like that's something you're taught. It's not
right.
The privilege he has was taught to him, and he took heed of it and ran with it even further than somebody who's oblivious to what they have and what they, you know, with the life they live. Because some people just go through their life not necessarily knowing, but not aware and privy to somebody else's circumstances. He's a person right. who's very aware of somebody else's circumstances and want to keep them there, opposed to try to help them elevate up. And I don't respect anything about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well said. Well said. I mean, yes, a lot of people have been saying this is not the championship you guys just won was not a real championship because of the situation, because of the atmosphere. Most of those naysayers have never won a championship on any level. And you recently had a message on Instagram, right? And, you know, basically going at the haters. What prompted that message?
You know, I see a lot of people who, quote unquote, say you didn't earn it. That, for me, more than anything, I feel like I earned everything I've ever got. I feel like I've put my blood, sweat, and tears to my craft and to every opportunity that was presented to me. Regardless of who can, quote unquote, whether you feel like vouch for you or whatever, you still have to walk through that door and put that work in to where you got to stay there. I refer to like Pat. When Pat gave the okay for somebody like a Tyron, so for somebody to take a chance on him, when he took a chance on him, when he walked through that door, he showed his ass, and now he is who he is. He's a Super Bowl champ, pro bowler, and everything else. So if he didn't do that, then people would be going to Pat like, bro, I don't know. You know what I mean? Your judgment was off on that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But they can't do that unless you go out there and show your ass. So for me, every time I got to feel like, for people who feel like they've given me a second chance or opportunity from, you know, whether it be from another player or because I'm friends with somebody with this person or that person. No, whether that happened or not, when I got there, I showed my ass to stay there. So that's where it was realistically coming from, because for me, I've been fortunate and I've been blessed to play with, you know, great players. For a lot of people, they look at my career as a joke. And for me, that's something I take personal. I put a lot of pride and hard work into my craft. You know what I'm saying? It's something that when people talk about me and they talk about my name, my kids going to hear about that growing up. Their kids going to hear about that growing up. And then at the end of the day, they're going to know that he worked his ass off no matter what nobody else can say.
Hey, you know, real quick, what my good uncle used to, our uncle, used to tell me all the time, Pat, you know Uncle Roger, most of the time he always giving me some words of wisdom. JR, my Uncle Roger used to always tell me, anybody can make the Pro Bowl or the All-Star game from the couch. Anybody can make it from the couch. But let me see you go out there on the court and make the All-Star, make the Pro Bowl team, man, because, you know, a lot of people say whatever they want to say when they're on the couch, when they ain't got that pressure and them lights on them. Them lights get bright. That sweat come down a little differently on your face.
For sure.
You feel me? You keep doing what you're doing, man.
I see the work and the grind that you put in the offseason for sure. But first of all, I'm definitely surprised that you got your shirt on right now, JR. that you probably was going to come on here without your shirt. But talking about shirtless, how much did you influence Alex and Kuzma to be shirtless?
Yeah, them boys had no shirt on.
Man, you know, it's crazy. It was a lot, but it's not even so much that I said anything to them. It's just that they've been waiting for so long. I don't know what people have been telling them or what the myth or the legend is all about, but I got to start reading some of the folk tales. But they were just so inspired by it, man. But it was so cool because you really get to see the impression you leave on the youth. You know what I'm saying?
Not even like for us,
we always think about the youth. We think about the 9, 10-year-olds, people our kids' ages and stuff like that. But at the same time, the youth is people 10, 12 years behind you just as well. These guys are 22, 23, 24, 25 years old who've been seeing my career and still look up to me. So, that influence on them is just as important as the youngsters.
Hey, man, did y'all really leave Quinn Cook behind?
Yeah, it was two buses. Look, so this is how it happened, right? So me, Cheese, and Q, we always ride back together on the first bus after every game. From the first game of the bubble to the chip, we always were on the first bus. It just so happened that we was walking out, and AD wanted to take a picture with Q with the trophy. So he went over there, started taking pictures, and Deion, we got impatient, man, and we slowly crept and waiting for him, but then it was like, man, we gotta leave. I was like, oh no, nah, I'm gone.
Champ Cheese is ready to go.
Yeah, Cheese is ready to, my man Champ was ready to go, but everybody knew Champ, when he on his time.
Right.
Hey, that, no question. That's a funny story. The togetherness, but y'all left one of the fallen soldiers behind. Man. Yeah, man, you know, speaking of this group being so together, man, I think a lot of that has to do with the leadership of LeBron. Regardless of, you know, the whole GOAT conversation, with LeBron winning his fourth ring, man, tell us a little bit about what makes LeBron so special on the floor and also on the sideline with his leadership skills.
I mean, more than anything, I think people always talk about his attributes, whether he can, you know, as a player or as a teammate. I think his biggest one to me is to be able to bring everybody together consistently, you know, and that's hard to do, because to take on a lot of people's energy or to even try to impose your will or impose your energy on 15, 16, 17 dudes who are millionaires and got their own agendas and got their own, you know, goals that they're trying to reach, whether it be personal or as a player. It's hard. That's hard to do, man. And as well as shit, coaches and general managers too. Yeah. So when you're a player like that and that stature, it's a lot of, for me, I think he's just amazing at being who he is at bringing people together. I mean, I've never seen organizations where general managers literally having conversations with every single person on the team. You know what I'm saying? Not just the first two dudes, the first two, three dudes. He talking to the 16th man on the bench. He talking to the fifth dudes coming off the bench. It's like, you know what I'm saying? For him, you could tell that he has a lot to do with that because he's all about encouraging people around him and putting not only encouragement, but encouraging them to put the work in to do that. You know what I'm saying? So when you see somebody like that at that level working every single day and consistently, it's contagious. He just brings so many people with him. I think that's his best attribute by far. I mean, if you look at anybody as far as a profession, whether they're on and off the court, to pull people together, I think he's the best at it because from his circle, from his teammates to coaches, everything he touches is gold.
Yeah.
Right. And so with, so after the game, you was on the court with him and by him talking about, you know, Jeannie Buss wanted her respect, you know, GM wanted his respect and he wanted his respect with the accolades and the career that he had and his, that he's having up until this point, 17 years in and still going strong as ever. You know, why do you feel that he had to say that?
Just because I think like so many, for so long, it's been 17 years, so many people just counting on his downfall. You know, it's just so many people just waiting for him to be either knocked off his throne or waiting for him to see him lose a step or so much. And it's just given so many times, if you think of the accolades, like consistently, he could win MVP every single year.
Right.
But when they go up there to talk about the conversations, he's always the third guy. It's always, it's either Giannis or James or Russ or James or this person and that person. And then, you can always throw LeBron in there, look at his numbers. And it's like you get so, people get so bored with saying greatness is disrespectful to an extent. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, how can you consistently say this, like, he's not the best? How can you say he's the best player in the world and not give this man MVP?
Right.
He's the best. Like, I've never understood
that. Good point.
He can go to any team and make the, not only make the playoffs, make a championship run.
Yeah.
Right.
Heck, I think LeBron could probably make a championship run with me and Pat.
Right.
Seriously, I mean, it's ridiculous, though. Like, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. Like, you tell somebody the best player in the world, but and then when you get to the votes, you only get what 7 out of 100-something votes. Like, yeah. Right. How is that possible?
Right. How many more years you think you got left in the tank? Who knows, though? LeBron got to be drinking out of the fountain of youth or something, man.
You know what? He can play. Honestly, I think he could play as long as he wanted to, because he has I've never seen nobody with the ability to consistently just stay on himself like that. Like, he doesn't stop. I don't think he ever will. Like, he just is just so indebted into who he is. Like, his workout routine, regimen, it's like clockwork. All he got to do is wake up and just flows into a routine. He got a 24/7 chef. We got everything he needs at his disposal. So all he got to do is go through the motions of it.
Hey, the man living like a king, right? He living like a king.
No, seriously. Like, you got to think, like, he spends over $2 million on his body.
Right.
Wow.
Like, a year, like, yearly.
That's
just
a nice
on
ticket.
Your body.
That's a nice ticket.
Like, so you can imagine, he's not eating no book. I don't know what else to do.
You say 2 M's for his body?
Just on his body.
It's paying off. It pays off.
But you got to invest in yourself. He always told me that, though. He always said that if you don't invest in yourself, whether it be investing in a trainer, this guy's a shooting guru. If that's what he's charging, that's what he's charging. That's what you got to do to invest in yourself. Because if you can't hit those shots, you ain't going to be around here long enough to worry about it anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, we're talking about LeBron's greatness. Your former teammate, Kyrie Irving, LeBron and your former teammate had a few things to say a few weeks ago, basically commenting on his current teammate and Kevin Durant. Basically said something like, you know, he finally has a guy that can make that clutch basket, right, towards the end of the ball game. Do you think that was a personal slight at LeBron James? And if so, why?
At first, I didn't. I'm going to be honest with you, because I actually liked the post when I first seen it.
Yeah.
Because when he was saying it, I was thinking of the lines of the creativity in which he scores that. Because when I think about scores, or to me, honestly, the two best scores I've ever seen was Kyrie and KD. There's nothing that they realistically can't do.
Yeah.
So when he was saying it, that's what I thought he was saying, taking it as. But then when, you know, people gave me a little digger deeper of the shovel, I was like, oh, okay, maybe that was a jab. You know what I'm saying? But knowing Kyrie, he's a very complex individual. So I don't know I can't say it was a jab or it wasn't, but at some point we gotta stop trying to pick at shit.
Yeah.
We just be picking at stuff sometimes. Like, don't get me wrong, it could have been worded better. He could have either said it better, but at some point we just gotta stop picking stuff.
I agree with you, because I thought it was a slight of no reason to even come out and say that, you know what I mean? Because, you know, people can take it a whole nother way. But like you said, 100%. Kyrie is complex, and sometimes complex individuals give complex statements.
The world is flat.
Yeah, he said the world is flat. I'm still trying to figure that one out, but man, I ain't got no brain cells to really think on that one. Speaking of Kyrie and that Cleveland championship team, JR, 2016 Cavaliers versus the 2020 Lakers in a 7-game series, who wins and why?
And there's no disrespect to nobody, but I just think, for me, the size that the Lakers have, we just didn't have as Cleveland. I think Cleveland, we were more grittier. We played, I think, a little harder. We were much nastier defensively. But the size with the Lakers team was just with AD and Dwight and being able to go back and forth with changing the lineups with Keith. We weren't that versatile because we could play multiple different ways in Cleveland. I mean, with LA, but in Cleveland, we only had to play one way.
Yeah.
It's not like with Bron, like with Kai, if you double Kai at the, I mean, at the top of the floor or whatever, it's just like, it's hard to, not that he won't get 30, but it's a different, it's an easier 30 for Anthony Davis when he's 8, 9, 10, 15 feet away from the basket. You know what I'm saying? And on top of, he's giving you 12, 13 rebounds, block shots. He's a presence, arguably defensive player of the year. So it's, no disrespect to Kev, but it's just, I don't think it's, I don't know, I don't, for me, this, with the size, I just think the Lakers team just is just too big.
Man, do you think the Lakers going to be able to give Anthony Davis what he's looking for so he can stay in that Laker uniform from years to come?
I mean, they got to. I guess. they got. I don't see how you don't. Honestly.
Right.
I mean, he first year he got there, he got a chip. So
Yeah. Got to keep that in.
I don't know how many people in the Laker uniform did that. The first year they got there with a major impact, won a ring.
Yeah.
I think Shaq, I don't even think Shaq did it.
Shaq didn't do it.
Shaq first year? Was it Shaq first year in the LA 2000?
I think it was 99.
99. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause the first year he was there, I think they were playing in the Forum still.
Yeah.
They weren't in Staples Center. Matter of fact, man, JL, you missed winning the championship in Staples Center, man. Imagine what that'd look like.
Oh, man.
So you gotta go back.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you got to go back to back. Me and Pat going to come out there when y'all go back to back, man. We're going to be out there. Man,
listen, man. Hand God going to have to come out.
Hey, hey, Pat, we got to make sure our abs right because, you know, them boys liable to take their shirts off.
Hey, man, oh, my shirt coming off too.
For sure. Hey, Pat got it, man. Y'all know y'all DBs got it, man.
Yes, sir.
You already know.
Y'all be over there looking crazy. I'll be having to put my shirt back on saying, y'all, man.
Hey, you know what, though, JL? Speaking of DBs, a lot of people don't know this. You know, you weren't just a ball on the court. Man, you also had some game on the gridiron, and you committed to UNC coming out of high school. And I want to talk about that real quick before we jump to the gridiron. But do you ever, you know, go back and think back like, well, yo, what if I'd have went to UNC that one year and then jumped to the league? You know, how would that experience would have been for you? And also, too, that recruiting class, do you remember who UNC signed?
Yeah. I wanted to pretty much follow the Jordan motto and go to Carolina and, you know, be a part of that history, whatever. But more than anything, I wanted to get to the league as fast as I could. So once my football dreams, my pops kind of kept my football dreams. He keep telling me to stop telling everybody that, but he did. But once my pops kept my football dreams, it was really like, all right, if I'm going to do basketball, then I'm trying to get there ASAP. I ain't even trying to go to college. I ain't trying to deal with none of this. I was just trying to, cause my only reason for going to college at the time was cause I had to get my grades and shit together. So my only reason for doing all of that and taking extra classes and all that so I could play college football. Cause my cousin was just going to Miami and all that. So that's the only reason why I was trying to, you know what I mean? Trying to do extra, because once they told me about basketball, I was like, all right, well, I can do that easy. You know what I mean? That's just what I grew up doing. That's all I know better than anything. So yeah, once he deflated that, Carolina would kind of dwindled more and more. And especially after that McDonald's game, I was just like, man, the hell with it. I'm out. Everybody kept talking about, man, you can get drafted first round for sure. I was just like, oh yeah, I'm gone.
And on that Carolina team, because they won a national championship that year, right?
Yeah, Marvin Williams was it was gonna be me, Marvin Williams. One of the reasons why I didn't go because Roy Williams, Sean Livingston went on my visit at the same time. Me, Sean Livingston, Dwight Howard, Marvin Williams, we all go to Carolina on our visit at the same time. So I'm like, all right, cool. Sean's about to sign. I'm gonna sign. We got Dwight. When he going to the league for sure. This is when me and Sean didn't really know at the time. And Roy Williams told him, he told Sean Livingston he couldn't wait for his commitment because Sean promised Coach K he was going to take a visit. He promised Duke he would take a visit. And Roy Williams was like, man, I can't wait that. I can't wait on you. I got a guy ready to commit. And he took the other dude commitment. So I was seeing that. I was like, oh, man, nah.
That made you feel the type of right.
Yeah, that made me feel the type where I was like, we just came in together, we had all this talk and everything else. I'm like,
right.
Oh, no. Y'all starting too early.
Can't be a part of that.
Yeah, y'all starting too early for me. And then after that, it was the McDonald's game. So it happened like literally simultaneously. And I was just like, oh, yeah, I'm gone.
Man, that's awesome, man. But yeah, before we let you go, we got a couple more questions for you, champ, man. Who's the best golfer in the NBA that's not named Steph Curry?
Right now, I'm gonna wear that hat. I'm gonna wear the best hat. I'm gonna wear that hat of the best golfer not named Steph Curry.
You the best golfer?
Yeah, not named Steph Curry.
I played with y'all a couple of times. JR do have game. I can sign up on that one.
JR, you better than Pat?
No, nah, I'm not better than Pat. I ain't gonna lie to you.
You ain't better than the Tiger.
I ain't gonna set myself up.
We had the little NBA versus NFL thing, match play. We had a good time though, man.
Every time I see Pat, I'm like, Pat, what's your index, man? One, you know, I just got the scratch. You know what I mean? I plus one. I'm like, God damn, Pat, what you doing, bro? Pat be in the Bahamas playing all time. He getting real live tour lessons and all that.
Man, hey,
he out there in Arizona. He got PXG hooking him up. Like, he got the plug, man.
He got a whole tee off thing at the crib.
That's what I'm saying. It's 30 degrees out here snowing. I ain't got none of that, dog.
Hey, so JR, we're going to switch to the superlative part of our show. And this is where we hit you with rapid questions. You got to give us the first answer that comes to mind. You've been in a lot of pressure situations before, so this kitchen should be that hot for you. So the first question coming from me, favorite nickname of yours?
Swish.
Swish. Yeah.
Best team you played on or didn't win the title?
What was that? 2009 Denver Nuggets.
Okay. Which one was a harder title to win, 2016 or 2020?
2016, sure.
The most influential hooper of all time?
Most influential hooper of all time, Bra.
Mm. Okay.
I like it.
Best shooter you ever played with?
Kyle Korver.
I like Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle.
Toughest coach to ever coach you?
Byron Scott. He used to be like training camp, dog. Everyone. For real.
Best player you played with not named LeBron James?
Melo.
Yeah, no doubt. Speaking of Melo, real quick, I saw the Nuggets came out with like their all-time team or something like that, and they left Melo off. Did you see that?
Yeah, I seen that. It was
an all-time social graphic, and Carmelo wasn't on it.
Yeah, I did see
all-time
that.
Team social graphic.
That's funny, man. That's so bitter, man. Professional sports teams are so bitter. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Why they keep disrespecting Melo? Like, what's the situation with that? Because clearly from the outside looking in, it didn't look like it was warranted. But what's going on with that situation?
I don't know. It's been so long from standpoint for Denver anyway, but to even say something like that or not do something like that. But I don't understand why they keep coming at Melo. I think it's just because he's a very different individual. He actually he's very conscious of who he is and where he comes from. What he stands for and what he tries to do. And when people see that, I think that it's kind of intimidating for a lot of people, especially if you don't have the same beliefs or thoughts that the other person has. So it's easy to try and cast that person out, especially when you got if you're more of a like-minded thinker, like everybody else who's, you know, on the path of, you know, trying to do the same thing. For him, he's more of an individual. He's very, like I said, he's very conscious. You know, he's very into a lot of things. Like, he tried to get me, I can't do it, but he keep trying to get me to go to Africa and do the safari thing. And it's just like, I ain't with it, bro. Like, tigers and all that, just brushing up. He got videos and footages and stuff. Like, he into meditations and shit like that too, which is cool. He put me on a game with a lot of stuff, but. When he started trying to get me to go to Africa, if we do these safari rides, I ain't with it.
Yeah.
It ain't
happening. All right, JR, my last one before we let you go. Your favorite, I know you're a shoe guy, your favorite pair of Kobe Bryant?
The Grinches. For
mine
sure.
too.
Hold on.
That was 2014 Christmas, I think. 14. Maybe 13.
Yeah.
Yeah, those my favorite too.
That was against against Miami, right?
Yep, against Miami. Yeah. In LA with the white jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Crazy.
Pat P, y'all, hold on real quick. Pat P.
With my cousin. Oh, yes, you pulled him out.
Oh, I pulled the bridges out. There they go.
I'm always ready. When somebody say something about Kobe, I'm always ready. So, you know what I mean? If you want to call out a whole nothing. Now, see, I ain't going to go back and forth with you, JR, because you're an NBA player, so I know your kicks got to be unlimited. But when you talk about something Kobe related, hello.
Yeah, them joints tough. Them
oh, these, man, tough. Listen, them man. Moving. These are the best ones ever.
No doubt.
For sure, for sure.
No
for
question.
Sure. Man. Well, with that being said, JR, man, we appreciate you coming on All Things Covered. All no love, doubt. Baby. All season for you. My off season will be here before you know it. We gonna get on that course in the offseason for sure, big dog.
No question. Enjoy the championship ride, man.
All right, baby.
Appreciate you.
Yo, Pat. So, man, we had a real good conversation with J.R. Smith. What are some of the things you learned through the convo with J.R.?
Man, I just through that conversation, I had an opportunity to get to know J.R. throughout the years. I think I've known J.R. right as of now about going on 3 years now.
Yeah.
Again, have an opportunity to play golf with him. Meet up at other different charity venues. You know, he's a man's man. You know, always comes through. Just means well. You know, just hearing him talk, you can tell that, you know, he's very, very self aware of, you know, of his surroundings, what he may mean to others, or, you know, what his legacy may leave behind, or, you know, the impact that he's able to leave on the game. You know, that was some of the things I was able to take away from it. And he's a very prideful man. You know what I mean? So you tell that he wear his heart on his sleeve. He presents himself that way, you know, and you can't do nothing but respect that.
No doubt. I know one thing that I learned, we didn't get a chance to really tap into it with the convo, but off the record, he got offered a football scholarship from Clemson. So I didn't really know he was a baller like that on the grid.
Yeah, I didn't either. He also said he wanted to play safety.
He wanted to be a DB. You know what I mean? You got to be special to be a DB.
You already know, man.
Quality conversation, man. All Things Covered, man. Shout out to J.R. Smith for joining us.
Yes, sir. Like I said, man, J.R., we're going to get on that grid, on that course too, because I'm up 2-0. I'm up 2-0 against my man, J.R. I didn't want to put it out there when we was on a we were talking, but you know, but JR do got nice game, though. I really do like his game.
Yeah, no doubt. Pat, real quick before you give the outro, I know you almost done. You want to give the fans that are watching us on YouTube a little sneak peek of the shop, real quick. You know, just kind of give them a little sneak peek if possible, and then you can kind of give them a full tour on our next episode.
Yeah, that's what I'll do.
Yeah, give them with the shop, because you got your work shirt on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got my work shirt on real quick. Oh, we got some jerseys in here, Matt. Remember I told you I got some jerseys and stuff in here.
Yeah.
Warehouse, where it all gets started. See, it's all dark in there. Oh.
Hold
on, drop my phone, man. Yeah, make sure y'all tune in for next week.
Yeah, to get the full
tour,
right?
Check out the collection. But until next week, I want to thank everybody for listening to our fifth episode of All Things Covered. If you like what you hear, please make sure you subscribe and follow and leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. We'll be back with you next Tuesday, where you can expect all things will be covered. Peace.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.